Masters that you can ask the guys that were there, and they hear needs to hear. And so you can ask the guys that were there, and they remember the message entirely. It was very pointed, challenging, encouraging. Anyways, afterwards I went and talked to this detective, explained to him our Valley Nights ministry. And by this morning, I've already had an email from him saying he has police officers that are passionate about connecting with at-risk boys and girls. And already has two female officers that want to work with at-risk girls. So ladies, here's the launch of our girls ministry. All you need to do is come talk to me after the service, and we'll get it going. Plus, this detective and other police officers want to partner with us in ministering to these boys. And you know where most of these boys come from, right? Right over here at Elm Street School, along with the girls. So I just wanted to share that with you as a point of prayer. We need prayer in these days as we minister to these boys and girls. You know, we have some that come, they come without a supper. We're trying to figure that out. So this week we're going to make a bunch of sandwiches, and we're just going to have a good old sandwich feast. Some of them come without male role models in their lives, some without very positive male role models in their lives. And so we want to speak into these boys, and as God lays it upon your heart, we want to speak into the girls as well. So please be in prayer with us as we continue to move forward through this ministry. Question this morning as we start. How did you get here? How did you get here? God's grace. Yeah. I hope you weren't going down whatever road that is, because he was sitting there again with his little radar machine. He didn't catch me this morning. That's not what I'm asking, though. How did we get here? Have you ever thought how believers got to this point in history, and how there's churches all over the world celebrating Jesus Christ, many of them in these moments alongside with us? Just think of the churches in Medicine Hat, all praising God along with us. What a community of believers. But how in the world did we get here? If you go back to the days just after Christ's ascension, the filling of the Holy Spirit, there was a very, very small group of believers. And how did we get to this point? How did we get here? What was going on in the early church that led to such explosive growth that you and I have been impacted by the gospel? Many, many of us here today have said yes to Jesus Christ and are in a personal relationship with him. How did we get here? What did the early church do? I think what's critical for us this morning is to look at the elements of the early church and say, okay, what was there, and is it applicable to us today? Because God's not done with lost people. God wants everyone who is lost to become alive in Jesus Christ. So I think for us this morning, as I thought about this over this past week, have we ever stopped? Have we ever paused? Have we ever reflected upon the writings of the early church to see what is there and what can we apply to our context today? And so our scripture this morning is going to talk about explosive growth from what flowed out of a very small group of believers back in the early church days. And you know, if you're not familiar with the book of Acts, it's in your Bible. Open it up. Read it. It's a fascinating read. I would encourage you to read it not just once, but multiple times with different translations to get the essence of what was going on in the early church days and what can we apply to it today. And the same for you and me. I've read the book of Acts many, many times. And sometimes it can become familiar. What I've done in this season is I've got myself a Passion Translation, and I'm reading through it, and I will pick it up some days, and I cannot put it down. And I'm just reading over the Gospels over and over in the book of Acts and just staying in those at this point until Jesus leads me onward. But I would encourage you, if you've read the book of Acts many times, pick it up, maybe in a different translation, and look at it with fresh eyes and see what the Holy Spirit might want to reveal to you. Before we look at our text, there's a couple of things to keep in mind when we think about the needs of the early church and what was going on in those days, because they're the same today. Number one, what was going on is in the days of the early church, there was this deep, deep desire amongst the people of those days for something more. There had to be something more to life. So you think about your neighbors, maybe it's your coworkers, maybe it's some of your family members, and they don't know Jesus Christ. And all they do is they get up in the morning, they go to work, they put in their day's work, they go home, they make meals, they do their chores, they deal with whatever they have to deal with, they go to bed, they get up the next morning, and they do it all over again. Day after monotonous day. And they long for something more. They're hungry for something more. They're hungry for a small group of believers who might have the courage to pull them into their group and saying, we can tell you about more. And it comes in the name of Jesus Christ. The second thing, you know, you could say they're both the same. I see them as a little different. So they're longing for something more. But I look into the eyes of people and I see a sense of emptiness. It's an emptiness that only God can fill. I have been there. I know the emptiness. And I know what it's like to be filled. And there's people all around us who are empty inside and need a filling. You know, they may work at some fabulous career and get paid a chunk of money. You talk to them, and if they're honest, money does not fill the void. You can have the best recreations. You can have all the boats and all the quads and all the toys in this world. And you talk to them when they're done, whatever they've been doing, and there's an emptiness still inside. So I think that's the context of the early church. That's the context we face today. And so we come to the book of Acts. You can open it. It's a passage you've probably read many, many, many times. But we're going to read it. And we'll read another verse right behind it. But Acts chapter 2, starting at 42. The scripture says they devoted. So this is little ragtag group of early church believers, right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All, not some, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Would we not want to see that today? Chapter 5, I think verse 42. " day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news. That is Jesus the Christ. At the foundation of everything they did was Jesus. So keep that in mind. And this morning, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page, because I'm not going to assume that you've all read the book of Acts and you all know the history of the early church. I'm not going to do that. So I just want to take a few minutes just to pop in and out of some of these activities that they were doing in the early church. Okay? So I'm going to give you 10. I see some people writing, so I'll give you 10. You'll always get numbers from me. You'll always get lists from me, usually. You probably read that already. So in the time of the early church, there's two places that early believers met. One was in the temple courts, which I believe when they were in the temple courts, they were restricted to what they could say and do, but they were there, and they were praising God, because there were Jewish leaders all around, and I'm sure if they would have started getting too much into the whole gospel of Jesus, they might have been removed, my personal thoughts. So they met in the temple courts, but where they really hit home was in homes. Small groups of people gathered together in homes. And that was a reality for them, because you know what, in those days, the word Christian was not a positive term. You know, we all call ourselves Christians, and it's a positive term, right? But it wasn't in those days. They were considered a cult. They were called those Christ ones. It was slang. It was not a positive term. So they were seen as trying to undermine the status quo, and so they met in homes, and we could stop right there. And we could spend the rest of our morning just talking about that reality. You know why? Do you ever read the news? You ever listen to the news? Churches are being shut down around the world. Christians are being asked to leave countries now because these countries are becoming more and more pagan. And we are returning to pagan days while we're there. And more and more and more, we are going to be under a sense of persecution. So if we think we're going to get away with persecution, I think we're all a little bit wrong, because it's coming. And I think it's already here. And I think that this whole idea of meeting in homes is something that the early church modeled for us, that God would say, guys, you've got to keep at this. Because there could come a day when River Valley Community Church's only place to meet is in homes. And so even though this isn't a large city in that sense, but we still try to put you, when you sign up for Life Group, as close as we can in geographical locations. Because what if you couldn't come here on a Sunday morning, but you need fellow believers around you? What would you do? The early church met in homes. And they grew exponentially. It exploded. Nothing could stop the movement of God through this small group movement. So I think it's really essential for us to cue in to what was happening in the early church. So they met in temple courts, they met in homes, and while they met, you know what they did? Oh, they were serious. They were so somber. Not. They ate together. We'll get into other components of that. But they ate together. They were connecting with one another over meals. They talked about their lives. They talked about their struggles. They talked about their joys over a common meal that everybody needs anyway. So why are we not sharing meals more often in our life groups? This past week, life group leaders and hosts, we met and chatted a bit about that. I also gave them this thought. There's a word that describes this coming together and eating meals together, and that word is companion. Now, you all know Latin, but I'll remind you. In the original, in Latin, the word companion means this: one who shares bread. Isn't that interesting? So now you have to remember, when I was a boy, even when Ida baked bread, do you remember the aroma that came out of the oven? Oh, my word. You cut into that slice and you... And then you get out the butter and you slather it with butter. And then you get out your favorite jam. Oh, my word. For me, it's... If y'all want to start making this jam for me, I'd be okay with that. It's freezer jam, strawberry. Lots of strawberries. Okay? Can you imagine that on a fresh baked slice of bread with a tall glass of cold milk? Oh, my word, that's manna. If you've never experienced that, then all you have to do is go walk by a bakery, especially in the early morning hours, and just walk by or walk in and you catch that aroma. Are you hungry yet? We're going to be here for a while, so yeah, just temper it down. One who shares bread. So they ate together. There's two things that happens when one shares bread, when we are companions with one another. Number one, it excites you. Secondly, it relaxes you. Very interesting. It's exciting because in the early churches, they had these meals together. I can just imagine people were just coming in and joining the party. It's exciting. It draws you in. And when you're sitting down with good friends over a meal, isn't it relaxing? It just seems like you can just kind of pull back and forget about some of the cares of the world and just... Think of that happened in life groups, and we shared more meals together. Thirdly, the early church, they took time for communion together. And I know we do communion here once a month, and it's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's very intimate and meaningful. But have you ever taken communion in a small group of believers? Think of the intimacy, think of the relationships, think of the connection that happens as you're sitting across someone and you can look eye to eye to them, and you can remember what Christ did as you take the bread and the cup. So in these small groups, they took communion together and they remembered what Jesus had done for them. Fourthly, they experienced this repetition of contact. So, you know, I'm going to be honest. This is a great gathering. This is, what, about a two-hour gathering? But is that it for you? That's it? Early church sure didn't do that. There was a repetition of contact with other believers. It says they were daily going from house to house. I think our days are serious days. We may not be able to do daily, but we should be doing a whole lot more regular than once a week. So the title of this message really is, You Need This. Hopefully by the time we're done, I'll have at least halfway convinced you of that. Number five is, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Again, you know, that teaching was manna from heaven for new believers, for the early church. It was spiritual food that sustained them in the midst of their trials, in the midst of their persecutions, in the midst of the stuff that they were dealing with. That was daily manna that sustained them. It's what bonded this group of people together. Can you imagine if all of River Valley Community Church was in some kind of a small group and we were constantly absorbing the teachings of the Word of God, what it might do for this body? Number six is, they were extremely generous to one another. When people found out there was a need, they did what they could to sell whatever they had, so there was finances to take care of that need, and they gave it to the apostles, and the apostles took care of the needs, because nobody was in want in those days. They celebrated together. You know, way back, I don't know, probably back in the 90s now, but Tony Campolo wrote a book called The Kingdom of God is a Party. Church, we need to be a whole lot more celebratory than we really are. As Christians, we should be the most exciting people to be around. People should clamor. They should be knocking over shelves in the stores just to get to talk to Monica. Right? Because we're a celebratory people. So you think about it. You know, as people would walk by their homes, probably there was no glass in the window panes. Maybe their doors were open. But as people walked by in the community, they could hear the roar of laughter coming from inside these small groups. They could hear maybe the music being played, and it was just wonderful, inviting. They probably captured the aroma of Starbucks being brewed in the homes. They probably caught the aroma of that fresh baked bread with strawberry, with freezer jam on it. There was this joy that believers had together, and it was absolutely contagious. People wanted to be around them because they were a contagious group. They prayed for one another. They were seeking the mind of Christ. They were lifting up burdens. They were crying out to God and crying for a fresh touch because they knew they needed it. And I don't think these were weak prayers that they were praying. I believe that they were powerful, bold, courageous prayers that they were lifting up to God and saying, God, we want more. And so you may think that the early church was perfect. These were just a perfect group of people because they hadn't been that long since Jesus went up, ascended to heaven. Read 1 Corinthians. You'll find all kinds of issues there. They're not perfect people. They were real people dealing with real problems. They were dealing with real failures. There was still sin in the camp. And yet there was something happening as they drew closer and closer to God. I think as you read books like 1 Corinthians, you realize, wow, the early church was messy, almost like 2019. That means your life groups are going to be messy too, and that's okay. You know, a long time ago, in my first church, an old retired pastor told me, he says, you know, Randy, Here's a fishing analogy for you when you think of evangelism. You know, the fisherman goes out and he catches the fish and then he cleans them up. Stan, don't reply to it because I remember your comments to that wherever you are. He countered that with a great story. We'll get into that another day. Life is messy and Jesus comes and cleans it up, right? So be okay with that in your life groups. Number 9 is they expected to meet with God when they gathered. This was not some social club. When they got together, they expected that God would show up and be there. And he was going to do something in their midst. That's what we expect in our life groups. And then finally, number 10 is there was a sense of awe from the signs and wonders that were taking place in their communities. There was a deep sense of holy reverence that swept over these people because they were meeting with God on a regular basis. And I just love how Acts 2:47 concludes. And, you know, I want to read it out of the Passion Translation because I love, like I said, the Passion Translation. It says, "And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life." Isn't that good? People who were dead in sin were now coming to life in Jesus Christ on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Because of what? There are small groups of believers meeting in homes, doing life together. So let me ask you, wouldn't you like that to happen today? Wouldn't you like to come in here next week and say, okay, we're doing service number 6, because the place is filled 6 times, and there's just, who's going to help us disciple this week? Because we got a flood of new ones that need to understand Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be exciting? I'll keep you here all afternoon if I have to. Because we have a goal today that we want our sheets filled with people that want to get involved in life groups so that we can penetrate the darkness of our culture. You're warriors. We're here for this. We're not here just to sit here on a Sunday morning or during the week to read your devotions, which is all great. We're here to make an impact upon this culture. And it is dark. It is ugly. And as it gets darker, Jesus will shine all that much brighter through us because we know at the end of the day, who wins? Yeah, Jesus wins. So we say, yes, Lord, we want more of you. We cry out for the people who are lost, and we're asking you through River Valley Community Church to shed light into their lives. Work through us, through Bible studies, through sharing meals together, through communion times together, through acts of generosity, through celebrating and partying and times of rich prayer. And God, we're asking that in the midst of it, we too will be at awe at the signs and wonders that take place. Because he's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you know what the result of all of this is? It is radically changed lives. Lauren was a young woman who didn't have a very good experience in church. So she left for a number of years and was done. Came a point in her life when she realized there was a hole, there was an emptiness in her that nothing would fill. And so she made a decision one day, yeah, I'll give church one more try. So she had researched out and she figured, okay, this church over here, I think I'll try them. So she went to her friend's small group. And as it came to prayer time, she asked that small group, would you pray for me that as I go to that church, I will have a really good experience and that God will move in my life? That group cared for her. They prayed for her. They loved on her. She felt welcomed into the family. What church did she show up on Sunday morning? It wasn't the research church. It was the one from the small group. And within weeks, she was already serving in that church. I think she even took a course to become a life group leader and started her own small group because of the impact that one time had in her life. That is how radically transformation takes place. Oh boy. If you're not in a life group right now, you're missing out. You really are. And you know, it's so easy to get into a life group. All you got to do is talk to me at the end of the service. Go over to guest services, and those wonderful people will find the sheet and that you can sign up. And then we'll do our best to put you into a life group that best meets your needs. Maybe this is because I was at a men's ministry yesterday. But I want to speak to the men here today. God has called us to be leaders in our homes. He's given us that mantle. You could be single here today, and that's fine. You're still a man who has been gifted with leadership from God to give leadership. You could be a powerful influence upon other people just by simply modeling and being part of a life group and getting involved and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. But if you're married here today and you have kids, I'm calling you to give leadership in the home. And one of those leadership capacities is being a spiritual leader. So you have to do inventory in your own life of how you're doing that. But I honestly believe that life groups is a powerful place to give leadership to your home by going with your spouse, by going with your kids, because your spouse needs a life group. Your wife needs a life group. Your kids need a life group. You need a life group. So I guess I would give you the simple phrase, step up, men, sign up, and then show up. And you might be surprised what God does. The other thing I'll say to you guys is you need to fight for your family because nobody else will. God's given you that mantle. And if you're a single lady here today and you don't have a spouse, then come under the leadership of a life group leader. Come under the leadership of this church. That's biblical. God will take care of you. We will take care of you. So I'll say it again. You need this. You need to be in a life group. Our vision simply, you know, Pastor Larry and I talked just very briefly as we were getting ready for here this morning. And our simple vision for life group is this. That every life group in this church would be so packed, it would be spilling out the doors. That's all we want. And then each life group would have to sit down and make the hard decision, okay, how do we raise up a leader in this group to birth another group? So when we talk to you about life groups, we're not splitting life groups. We're not breaking you apart. We are birthing. We are multiplying for the sake of the kingdom. And I pray that we would have many multiplication factors taking place this season as life groups fill up to capacity. And we've got a few of them that are scratching their heads and figuring, okay, what do we do with this? Isn't that awesome? Because we'll just birth more leaders and we'll just start more groups and away we go again. I love it when I see multiple generations mingling in life groups. I love it when kids are noisy in a life group. It's awesome. Boy, ask some of our younger, they may not always say it's awesome, but I can see Jenna smiling over at somebody over and saying, yeah, because theirs is full of kids. Isn't that awesome? Kids are in life groups. What takes place here is not just fun and games and a bunch of little cute little stories. They do life group in here and downstairs. So by age 3, they're already forming the thought of in little groups at tables. So, worship team, you can start making your way up. I've wrestled with this. I'm going to do it anyways. I'm sorry. We'll try to have you out by noon. But also going to do what the Lord asks us to do, right? I've wrestled with this article. Do I share it? Do I not share it? It's entitled, Prepare, for the End is Near. And what I'll say is this, I'm not going to predict end times, but Jesus' return is closer today than it was yesterday. I think I'm pretty safe to say that. There is a day he will come. Night will be done. We'll be done with our ministries. And we'll all enjoy eternity together. But while we're here, we got work to do, folks. So this is from a Deki Dvorak, a prophet. The Lord God would say to you this day, prepare, for the time is near. Prepare your hearts. Judge your own and make sure it is right with me, says the Lord. If you have anything against another, forgive them and do what you can to make it right. God says, stay close to me in my word and read it, study it, and live it like you believe in me. remain in an intimate fellowship with me. Now is not the time to wander off into the wilderness of the world and in its ways. These are not the days to do that. Now is the time to stay in my presence, refresh your weary souls, and dust off the unbelief of those around you. As you can see, the spiritual condition of the people is wearing down. Disassociate yourself from those who are false and spiritually dirty. Stay in fellowship with those who do believe. Life groups. Be willing to take a stand for me and my ways in these last days. Do not be afraid, for I will be with you until the ends of the earth. No man is an island unto himself. You need one another. Learn to look out for one another. The Spirit will show you how. Life groups. Just be a willing vessel for the light of my love to shine through you. Life groups. And shine through it you will. And if you will allow my Spirit to shine through you, they will see the light of me in you. Step out of the entertainment mode and worship me in spirit and truth. True worship breaks the yoke of bondage and readies them to receive the word with life-changing power. Begin to hear this. Begin to see yourself as I see you. Born again, born from above, redeemed, forgiven, and loved. That's how God sees you this morning. Be bold and do not hold back. Speak up, tell the truth, tell them in love, the right and wrong. Don't compromise, take a stand, for the end is truly at hand. Prepare yourselves, for the end is near. And Jesus says, I am coming soon. Get into a life group.